So today we'll read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the 8th chapter, text number 14. This is a very nice verse, especially because it mentions Vrindavan in the purport. So very appropriate for where we are today. Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasha Tasyaham Sulabhapata Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Jai. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Everyone can please repeat. For one who always remembers me, without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation have also been described: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Hatha Yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga, without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the word ananya chitta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahma Jyoti, or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, a pure devotee is called Nishkama, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a jnana yogi, karma yogi, or hatha yogi has his own selfish interests, a perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to attain. So I just stopped here. It's quite a long and very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada to go over some of these points that he's made so far. Now, as Srila Prabhupada says, there are many things that have been discussed previously in Bhagavad Gita. In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna indicates previously in previous parts of Bhagavad Gita that he is the goal by saying mat, but actually in the 7th chapter he actually reveals clearly that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he says that different kinds of people try to attain him. The arti, those who are distressed, and the artarti, those who are seeking material gain, and the jigyasu, those who are seeking knowledge, some knowledge, inquisitiveness about knowledge, and jnani. So this jnani referred to in the 7th chapter is actually a person situated in jnana misra bhakti. Krishna makes that clear in the 17th verse of the 7th chapter. No. And, but none of these, no. Even though Jnana Misra Bhakti, basically speaking, is Bhakti Yoga, but there's some attachment to knowledge. No. And there's some attachment to the process of knowledge by which can facilitate the understanding of bhakti. And Yoga Misra Bhakti, the previous verse, verse number 13, which we can repeat just to emphasize the point. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. So this is Yoga Misra Bhakti. Otherwise, he's talking about bhakti because he was able to quit his body and remember the Supreme Lord. Of course, Ajamil wasn't practicing bhakti yoga. No. And he quit his body and he, but we can see he didn't immediately achieve spiritual planets. He actually achieved the opportunity to enter Brahmabhuta Pasanatma Nashuchati Nakangshati Samasavishu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktir Labhate Param. When one achieves equanimity in the practice of Vedic process or the perfection of knowledge, then one can be promoted to the platform of bhakti. So we'll speak about that a little later. But the point here is that he had to undergo some penances before he was actually promoted to the spiritual world. No. Otherwise, by being favored by the Lord by chanting the holy name without offenses, he was promoted to a platform of purity. So this platform of purity is actually the platform of Niskama Karma Yoga. When one still has some inclination towards something in this world, but wants to do everything through Krishna. So this is described in the previous verse. And this verse, Ananya Chetta Satatam. Now this Ananya, with this word Ananya Chetta, or in a little later on in Bhagavad Gita, but I just want to go back first to one verse here. No? Verse number 8, that Abhyasa Yoga Yuktenya Nanya Chetasa Ananya Gamina. So when one's consciousness doesn't go anywhere else, when one is fixed in the practice of yoga, this is the beginning of what is being described here. Then he has realization of the Supreme. No. And then that realization matures to the point where by vibrating Om, otherwise by the yoga practice, he can actually come to the point of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This process is described more elaborately in the second canto of the Bhagavata. No. But the point here is, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, in the previous verse, he says that this person, remembering Krishna at the time of death, especially in this age, means chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We shouldn't settle for anything less than this. No. Which means that we have to chant Hare Krishna throughout our lives. No. Srila Prabhupada says in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, in the story of Gajendra, that because the material world is full of so many unsettling experiences and difficulties, that one should try to remember some prayers. No. And of course, the one prayer that we're all remembering all the time is the chanting of the Maha Mantra. No. And it's also good to remember other prayers, the prayers of Queen Kunti, the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. No. So many wonderful prayers throughout the Bhagavatam. No. The prayers of the demigods, different places of the demigods, the personified Vedas. So many wonderful, beautiful prayers. Some are more philosophical, some like Kunti Devi especially are directed toward Krishna. And some of them even focus on Krishna in Vrindavan. No. Of course, many beautiful prayers in the 10th canto that specifically focus on Krishna in Vrindavan. So, the point is that none of these other platforms, although they may be indicative, they may bring us to a point of sometime coming to devotional service or bhakti yoga, they in themselves are not sufficient, nor does anything cause bhakti yoga to happen. No. This will go into a little later on in the purport. But I really wanted to stop at this point because of what Srila Prabhupada says here, that only a devotee can achieve real peace. No. Of course, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he said that personally, that there are many yogis. Actually, he said it in reverse order. First, he said that personally, I have no fear of material existence. Why? Because pat virya gayana mahamrita chittamagna. Because my consciousness is totally absorbed in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't have any problem with material existence. But the problem I have is that these fools and rascals, he actually says, maya sukaya, those who are bewildered by maya, they are making so many plans to enjoy this material world and turning away from Krishna. This is very difficult for me. He said there are very advanced souls who go off into the, who wander around to find some peaceful place. Even sometimes devotees, they're looking for some peaceful place. Well, it's nice to have a peaceful place, especially if we're conditioned. We need certain, as long as we're conditioned, generally speaking, we need certain situations that make life tolerable so that we can actually practice bhakti yoga. But sometimes Krishna accelerates that process. He doesn't allow you to have a peaceful place. Even Vrindavan. I remember the first time I came, it was a peaceful place. And now, externally speaking, definitely not so peaceful. Horns and people yelling and saws and construction. Buildings everywhere. I was just speaking with Mother Parvati the other day that, when this temple was first built, it was out in the middle of nowhere. You couldn't even get if you went downtown too late, you couldn't even get anybody to bring you out on a rickshaw. You had to walk back. It was like way out in the forest. And the first time I came, I was wondering, why did Srila Prabhupada build a temple out in the middle of nowhere? And then now it's the middle, Before it was the middle of nowhere, now it's the middle of Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada had that transcendental vision, empowered by Krishna, especially in Vrindavan. So we may not find, otherwise we may come to Vrindavan to find peace. One may not find peace. One may not even find Vrindavan. If one is not actually desirous, just like Srila Prabhupada said, you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Of course, we can physically transport ourselves to this geographical location, but to really be here, you have to transport yourself here in your consciousness. You have to hear about Krishna, you have to chant, you have to be desirous. Otherwise, when you come here, then you'll see dust, pigs, dirty, funny-looking pigs, that you don't see anywhere. I've never seen pigs like these anywhere else, except in Vrindavan. Of course, you don't see so many nowadays as you used to. Yes, the gurgling of the sewer waters, You'll see old buildings, people yelling, all kinds of things, horns honking, find so many disturbances. These disturbances is pradamaya, The duty of pradamaya is to cover the dham from those who do not deserve to see the dham, I actually knew a few people that came to Vrindavan and left the same day, because they couldn't understand. You have to be anxious, to see Krishna here. Even in any time, you had to be anxious to see Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sending Rupa and Sanatana Goswami to Vrindavan, he instructed them that be very careful not to see, don't find faults with the residents of Vrindavan. No, don't find faults. Because they may not practice like you practice. They're not going to practice like I've taught you. No. And we also have to be very careful, the Brajavasis here. They're definitely not practicing Krishna consciousness with the methodology that Srila Prabhupada taught us. But they're Brajavasis. And he especially warned Jagadananda. No. He said Jagadananda because Jagadananda was a little fiery. No, he would get disturbed when things didn't go his way. So he said, especially to him, you know, be very careful in Vrindavan. So the point is that to be here in Vrindavan, you can find the real peace, but you don't even have to be in Vrindavan. This is a little later on in the purport. We'll get to that. No. That peace, which Srila Prabhupada is referring here to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Santeva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikam Shakaliya Shanta. That a Krishna Bhakta, because he's Nishkam, because he has no material desires, as it says here, Ananya Chittaha. Ananya Chittaha means no. Well, we'll read a little later what it means. Srila Prabhupada gives a more explicit definition later on. But it means no material desires. And therefore one can be peaceful. Even though one may be in the most peaceful place on the whole planet. No. Just like one time, I was actually here in Vrindavan. Many of you know Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu. So the first time I came to Vrindavan, I was then serving in Costa Rica. He was, you know, he had just come here. And he's told our temple president that actually he lived in Costa Rica and he had this very valuable camera. It was worth about $10,000, which in those days was, you know, probably about $100,000 nowadays. And so, wow, we were so excited. So the temple president sent me and he said, well, you can find it with this man named Captain Cook. So I went, so the temple president gave me the duty, so I went to Captain Cook and he said, no, I left that, I went to somebody's the place. He said, he lives in the jungle. No, he lives in the jungle, out in the middle of, on a river. So I went to there by bus, by mule, by foot. I got to the river, took a boat, and finally found Captain Cook. He lived in a tree on the river. I had to spend 2 days with him because there was only a boat going by every 2 or 3 days, living in the tree with his monkeys and his parrots. And then he said, oh, that camera, I gave it to somebody in Guatemala. And the point is then I left and I was taking the boat back to a juncture with another river and waiting for the next boat. And then this man came along, from Germany. And he came up in his boat and he goes, no! No, I can't believe it. I came here to the middle of the jungle to be peaceful, and the Hare Krishnas are here. You know? I thought he was going to start chanting, or there'd be some kirtan or something. So even if you go to the most remote place, you know, it's, unless you are actually Krishna conscious, you know, you can't be peaceful by bhukti, by material enjoyment. This is what everyone's trying to do nowadays. By mukti, by liberation, you know. Srila Prabhupada said many times that liberation means becoming one with God. After you tried everything else, then I'll become one with God. No. If everything else fails, then let me become one with God. No. Not a very plausible formula. No. If I'm God, why do I need to try all these other things? But anyway. So, it's just, and then bhukti mukti siddhi, and by yoga practices, you don't become peaceful. Just like Durvasa Muni, he never became peaceful. Just like Vishvamrita Muni, he didn't become peaceful by all his yoga practices. No. Kasyapa Muni, he didn't become peaceful by all his yoga practice. No. But a devotee, a very simple devotee, can become totally peaceful like Prahlad Maharaj. Even in the midst of the greatest calamity, danger, difficulty, problems. No. Becomes completely peaceful, totally dependent on Krishna. No. So this was one of Srila Prabhupada's main points here. The Bhajana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Hatha Yoga, all these things he's described up to now, you cannot become peaceful. No. So then Srila Prabhupada continues. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of his various personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, such as Rama and Nrisimha. Any devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Just like many people for the yoga practice need a quiet place, or even as described in the sixth chapter, as Srila Prabhupada said, you have to be completely celibate, you have to have a deer skin, you have to go out in the forest. No. Of course, we live in the jungle. Most of us live in jungles, but concrete jungles. You know, you don't find such a peaceful situation. So there's so many difficulties in practicing all these processes. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. So this is said here, tasyaham sulabha partha. No. He says, I am very easy to achieve. And we'll speak about this later on. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, he is especially inclined toward those who always serve him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, Yame vaisha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vinute tanum swam. So the first part of that verse, nayan atma pravachane na lubhyo. Even if you attend the most eloquent lectures about self-realization, no, namidasa na bahuna shutena, even if you have great intelligence, or even if you read many, many books, go to Motilal Bashani, what is it? Bashani Vas in Delhi. Hundreds of thousands of books. I used to go there and buy all kinds of books. I'd never read them. No. And then, you'll never understand. How do you understand? As it says here. No. That, yes, yai vaisha vinute tena labhyas. You'll never do it by this means. Tasyaisa atma vivinute tenum swan. You will do it when Krishna allows you. No. And when will Krishna allow you? When you desire. No. When you desire it. Of course, desiring it is one thing, and Krishna allowing you is another thing. And we'll discuss that just a little bit farther down. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as he is. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, the Dhami Buddhi Yogam Tam. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. Where Srila Prabhupada makes the point about this particular verse that Dhami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. What kind of intelligence? To come to me. No, not material intelligence, not let me worship Krishna so that I can get a PhD. No, let me worship Krishna so that I can be a great scholar. No. Krishna can also give you this, but if you take that option, then you won't get bhakti. Even by chanting Hare Krishna, you can get external things, or you can get subtle things. But if you desire those things, then the holy name, they may award you those things, but the one thing you won't get is pure bhakti. No. So therefore, a devotee is very careful not to ask Krishna for anything. In the beginning of Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada quotes Lord Kapila Dev, where he says that my only desire is pure devotional service. And why does a devotee want pure devotional service? Because by pure devotional service, he can serve Krishna properly. No. Without pure devotional service, how can you even serve Krishna? How can you have access to Krishna? We actually cannot have access to Krishna without pure devotional service. And therefore, to get access to Krishna, we have to serve the pure devotee who has that access, and he allows us. He brings us along. He brings us on his coat tail, no, or his dhoti tail, whatever tail, no, Hanuman's tail. No, you have to be pulled into devotional service. The devotee opens that possibility so that we can be blessed by Krishna's grace. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning of this section that you can worship any form of Krishna. No. But this is later on in the 13th verse of the next chapter, Krishna says, but my devotee, and we can actually read it very nice, what Srila Prabhupada says there, just in the purport to 9:13. A Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside of Krishna because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of demigod or human being. No. So, of course, we can be attracted. Srila Prabhupada is giving a wide, yes, you can go, you can be attracted to Vaikuntha, you can be attracted to different forms of the Lord. But if you're really understanding and you're really attached to this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there won't be any other option. Even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, and if one is actually attached to Lord Chaitanya and not attached to Krishna, or if one is attached to Krishna and not attached to Lord Chaitanya, he's a demon. Of course, that, you know, it's just a emphasis that we should understand there's no difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, some devotees are equally attached to Krishna, Radha and Krishna and Mahaprabhu. Some are more attached to Mahaprabhu. Some are more attached to Radha and Krishna. But they all understand that there is no difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahi, Anya. No difference. So, Srila Prabhupada, here's where he really describes this particular paragraph that we'll read now. The specific qualification of a pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without consideration of time or place. There should be no impediments. So this is ananya chitta. Every day we sing about this ananya chitta and how it can practically manifest in our lives. Anyone know what we sing every day to say that, to establish that? Well, not everybody says, well, of course, yeah. If many devotees say that every day. Yeah, that's true. I was thinking of something else. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikya. No. That the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master, there's nothing else in my consciousness. Arana Koriya Maniya Sha. My mind cannot contemplate anything else other than the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So this is the same principle. This is, sometimes we think these are very elevated, lofty considerations. No, it's very practical. Very practical. We can all do it. We're doing it every day. No, I mean we're singing it every day. Now whether we're doing that's another thing. No, but at least we're understanding. There's a very simple, practical, tangible way to realize what Krishna is saying here. What is this undeviated devotional service? Just hear from the spiritual master and do it. No. It's very simple. Srila Prabhupada said one time that The problem is not the process. The process is very easy. The problem is your mind. No. The process is very easy. Chant Hare Krishna. Just the spiritual master, the devotee in charge says, do this, and you do it. It's very easy. No. But the problem is the mind. No. Our conditioned life, it gets in the way. No. So, this is the specific qualification. Now, in the Bhagavatam, it describes the highest process of religion. Sabai pumsa paro dharmo ito bhakti adhokshache. And what are the characteristics? Just what is being said here. Ahaituki. No other interest. No other desire. And yapratiyata. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the part of yapratiyata. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere at any time. So this is the difference between a pure devotee and a conditioned devotee. No. A pure devotee will carry out their service anytime, anywhere, any place. No. And a conditioned person, I'll be glad to do it. No. Just like sometimes I give the example, no, that people may approach the spiritual master and say, my dear Gurudev, please tell me, whatever you say, that is my only desire. Well, do Sankirtan. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not so good at that. Well then, you can go on the altar. Oh, I'm not so expert in that. No. Well then you can cook. Oh, I never learned to cook. No. Well then do whatever you want. Thank you, you're very merciful. No, thank you. You're so merciful. No. So, this is not the process. No. This is a very conditioned. So we shouldn't think like that. We should, everywhere, anytime, anywhere, we're ready to do whatever. There should be no impediments. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, he was, you know, new sannyasi, and he was very anxious to go to Vrindavan. So he was on his way. Nityananda Prabhu was following behind him. You know. And so he ran into some cowherd boys, and he saw these cowherd boys, and he thought, I must be near Vrindavan. So he put his hand on their heads and bless them and say, you are very fortunate, you are very fortunate. May Krishna bless you. And then Lord Dhyananda went up to them, told them something, you know, maybe gave them a little something, some prasadam or something. Said, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks you, where is Vrindavan, just show him the path to the Ganga. You must, you know, he said something to them and made them agree. You know, young boys with a small incentive, they will, you know, be very, very inclined to help. So they told him this way. So then, in the same time, Nityananda Prabhu told Chandrasekhar, you go inform Advaitacharya, tell Mother Shachi to come to his house, tell them that soon Mahaprabhu will come there. And then he caught up with Mahaprabhu and he said, Nityananda, he said, yes, yes, my lord, I'm joining you on the way to Vrindavan. And then they came to the Ganga. He said, just see, here is the Yamuna. And the Lord bowed down, offered prayers to the Yamuna, and started bathing. And all of a sudden, here comes Advaitacharya in a boat. No. Because Lord Chaitanya didn't have a change of cloth. You know, he was so anxious to bathe in the Yamuna that he didn't think about his change. So Advaita came with some cloth. He said, Advaita, what are you doing here? When did you arrive? And then Advaita said, actually, we're very near Shantipur. And he said, Nityananda, you cheated me. And Advaita said, well, actually, no, because, you know, the Ganga and Yamuna come together, and on this western side is the Yamuna. So, you know, technically speaking, you're bathing in the Yamuna. No. And then anyway, he took him back home. So this also shows, as I was speaking the other day, how the devotee is, how the Lord is always under the control of his devotees. No. always under their control. He had his plan, I want to go to Vrindavan, and Nityananda had his plan. No, I want Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Nityananda's plan was based on, especially on the condition of Mother Shachi. Mother Shachi had not eaten for 12 days. No, and she was very, you know, and she was just delirious in pure devotion. She was, anybody would come, she's saying, have you seen Krishna and Balaram? No, she's like, she was totally absorbed in her realization of herself as Yashoda Mai. She couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, no. So, finally, Nityananda knew that if Lord Chaitanya doesn't come back soon and instruct her, then she's going to, you know, leave her body. And if she leaves, how will anyone be able to live? The only way that anyone will be able to remember Mahaprabhu in his absence as a sannyasi is if she, if she actually can, live and remind them of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be the center of their devotion. No. And so, anyway, that's another story. But point is that Advaita said, anywhere you go, anywhere you are, my Lord, this is Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada in New York, he was giving a class in the beginning, 1966, and he was speaking about this principle, and he said, just like anyone who is Krishna conscious, he said, just like I am here in New York, but because I am teaching Krishna consciousness, because I am thinking about Krishna, this is also Vrindavan. No. And of course in the Bhagavatam, it says that the real place of pilgrimage is established by the devotee. No. And another place in the Bhagavatam, if you go to a holy place of pilgrimage, Ijanesh Babigyeshu Saiva Gokara, and if you don't have the mentality of looking for the pure devotee who makes that place into a holy place, by what makes a place into a holy place? Speaking the wonderful, beautiful pastimes of Krishna. No. Otherwise, it just becomes ritualistic. Just like I remember when I went to Rameshwaram, and I was going down, I don't know if many of you have been there, but there's these long, long corridors, like maybe half a mile long, you know, it's like four or five of them. So I was looking, you know, trying to figure out what to do, where to go, and so I came to this one Brahmin sitting in on an asan, and I said, so, can you tell me, about the different holy places? He pulls out a card, you know. He gives me his card, you know, so-and-so, Misra, or Bhatta, I can't remember, you know, tours of the Rameshwaram. I said, also, could you tell me, if there's any, restaurant where I can get, you know, prasadam of the Lord, and pulls out another card, you know, so-and-so, Misra, expert Brahmin cook, you know. And everything I asked, he had a card for that, you know. And I realized, you know, and then I went out to the outside, there's these wells where you go and bathe in this well for this, taking care of this problem, this well for that problem. And I could just see, wow, this is not our process, no. And so, thinking this is supposed to be such a holy place, but you don't feel anything, no. It's all mechanical, everything's so mechanical. Give you a card, go to the well, do this, do that, no. There was no recitation of the glories of the Lord. So we'll read the last verse. This is very interesting. Here comes the second principle. As indicated by the words satatam and nityashaha, which means always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates on him. So, ahaituki yapratyata, without deviation, all the time, every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. No. That daily we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and daily we should serve the devotees of the Lord. No. Then the process of bhakti becomes established in the heart as an irrevocable fact. No. Otherwise, it's very difficult to practice devotional service. No. So this means we don't do, just like nowadays it's become very popular, that, you know, so people have like 2 hours of service. I've seen this, like even living in a temple, I have 2 hours of service or 3 hours of service, you know, and then you ask them to do something else. Oh, no, I've already done my service. So, but this is the principle here. If we want to reach Krishna, it's not, I finished my service, I have 3 hours of service, I have 6 hours of service. No, 24 hours of service.
No. That's not my job.
That's not my job, not my service. No. Yeah, that's another one. So, you know, of course we all definitely, we have a schedule, you know, and we like to stick to our schedule. But if you were ever with Srila Prabhupada, there was no schedule. No, there was what Prabhupada said. No. And Prabhupada was so moving so quickly that nobody could keep up. Otherwise, you know, a new idea, pull somebody in and then send them off here. And then, you know, a few months later, they'd get a letter. No, you should go here. It was like, you know, just so dynamic. You know, when we're actually very desirous of performing service like this, like it says here, then devotional service becomes so dynamic, so exciting, you know, so wonderful. Just like someone asked me the question the other day about enthusiasm. This is what creates enthusiasm. Having more to do than we can possibly ever accomplish. There's so much to do for Krishna. This was Srila Prabhupada's mood, you know, that there's no time. You know. Actually, one time Srila Prabhupada in New York was coming back from a program where he spoke. And he said, the real hero is one who gives up sex life. No. And then devotees on the way back, they were glorifying Srila Prabhupada. He was just sitting there, chanting. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you're the real hero. You've given up everything. You have no desires. You only want to serve Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything. And then when he got out of the car, he said, I have so many desires. That's why I keep engaged in Krishna's service. Of course, that's his humility. Just teaching us. No. But This is what keeps us from what keeps material desires from manifesting, what keeps the heart pure and free from unnecessary desires, especially in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, being fully engaged, not having one moment. The famous saying in English, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. No. So, we don't want to allow that to happen. These are the qualifications of a pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti Yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the Bhakti Yogis are engaged in 5 different ways. Shanta Bhakta, engaged in devotional service and neutrality. Dasya Bhakta, engaged in devotional service as a servant. Sakya Bhakta, engaged as a friend. Matsalya Bhakta, engaged as a parent, and Madhurya Bhakta, engaged as a conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. I remember the first time I read that, I sat there for like 2 hours trying to figure out what that meant, you know, all these 5 rasas, and, when I read Bhagavad Gita, couldn't figure this out. Yeah, but it sounded really nice. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the Lord is easily attained. So here, we see the difference between what we would consider to be easily attained. Easily attained means, well, you know, I'm just going to sit around and, you know, this electromagnetic wave will come like a magic wand and just, oh, wow, Krishna's so merciful. But actually what it means is that if you do all these things, then Krishna makes himself accessible. Now, so what do we, you know, what do we compare that to? We compare that to, you read in the Bhagavatam and different Puranas that so-and-so did 50,000 years of penances or, you know, stood on one leg for, you know, not only Hiranyakashipu, other devotees stood on one leg for 1,000 years or, you know, held like Dhruva Maharaj, you know, stop eating, then stop drinking, then stop breathing, you know, for, you know, and these incredible austerities. That's what Srila Prabhupada means. It doesn't mean that it's easy, meaning that I don't make any effort. But at the same time, it should be clear that easy really means that the Lord becomes so attracted, you know, if we go back to the verse, you know, the Lord becomes so attracted by what? Yo mam smarati nitya. Someone who's always remembering him. Always remembering him means not just some super advanced devotee, but the devotee who's making the effort to always remember Krishna, always trying to remember some verse, always trying to chant the holy name, always trying to stop the interferences of the mind and the senses. For that devotee, tasyaham, Krishna says, I do, no, I make it. To him, I make it very easy. Otherwise, I will facilitate, I will remove the obstacles from that devotee's life. But removing the obstacles doesn't mean that there won't be any obstacles. It means that those obstacles can be easily overcome by devotional service. So, and then again he emphasizes, nitya yuktasya. No. Again, satatam nitya yuktasya, nityasya nitya yuktasya yoginaha. But the devotee has to be engaged in this process. No. In one purport of the 11th canto, purport of a famous verse, can't think of the verse right now. Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. No. That Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak means Jivantiye Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak. So that means inheritance. One becomes the rightful heir to the inheritance. Srila Sridhar Swami, the original commentator of the Bhagavatam. You become the heir, or the person who will inherit this privilege of devotional service if you just remain fixed in devotional service. No. This is the minimum standard, the minimum requirement. You must remain fixed in devotional service. And so I'll just finish here. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. We spoke about that yesterday. This is the great blessing of the Krishna consciousness process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I just wanted to read one verse from one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, Shuddha Bhakata, just to show this point of always being in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan can always be accessible. He says, this is otherwise how what pure devotion does, what pure devotion produces. Jedi nagrihe bhajana deki grihete goloka bhaya charana sidhu deki na ganga shudha sa simha paya. So, one day in my house, no, as I was meditating, or I was doing my bhajan, I was doing my devotional service, grihete goloka bhaya, that my house was transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. Pretty nice. No. Charana Sidhu, Dekika Ganga. And just by taking the Charanamrita of the Supreme Lord, the Ganga Devi flows, no, through my very home, through my very life, through my very consciousness. Sukha Sa Simha Paya. I cannot express the wonderful, ecstatic, blissful condition that this creates. No. So there's one verse in the second chapter of Adi Lila, the second verse, such a beautiful verse. It speaks about this. Is there a Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila there? I saw one, but it was in some language that I couldn't pronounce. So that's the one, I think. Unfortunately, it's not in English. No, it's not in English. I looked at that one. Anyway, I could try to find it here. Just such a beautiful verse. Let me just see if I can just find this, and then we'll conclude with that verse. Krishnot kirtana gana nartaka kala pato jani brajita sa bhaktya vali hamsa chakra madupa shreni vaharas padam kana nandi kala dvani vahatume Jiva Maru Prangane Shri Chaitanya Dayani De Tavalasad Leela Shudha Swadhuni. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens the ears. Oh, such a beautiful poetic rendition. And this is, so this is the, this flow is possible. Adi tu. And so, if we just chant the holy name, then this will be our experience. The Ganga of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in the form of the holy name will flow over our desert-like tongue, which is used to speaking so many dry, arid topics of material existence, philosophy, so many different things. And then the devotees and the glorification of the Lord will come as lotus flowers and bees and swans and ducks and swim in that water and make it more and more beautiful. So this is a very wonderful verse. Reminds us of Vrindavan, because Srila Prabhupada speaks of Vrindavan. Teaches us how we can always be in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, we can come to Vrindavan and then you go back to your place. Of course, some people are very fortunate, like Mother Parvati, they stay in Vrindavan. You know, but some others also. But most of us, we have the duty to come and get inspired by them and their example and their association, and then go back with our batteries fully charged. I just had an experience with a battery, you know, so had to get a new one, you know. So, fully charged battery, we go back and take Vrindavan, create the atmosphere of Vrindavan everywhere we go by the chanting of the holy name and the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, stop here. Are there any questions? Comments? Yes.
Maharaj, you know, emphasis was put on, like, you know, a pure devotee is constantly engaged in serving and thinking of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this, like, satatam, like, one time I heard a lecture by Giriraj Maharaj, like, this constantly thinking of the Lord and serving the Lord does not mean that when we're crossing the street, that we're so engrossed in thinking of the Lord that we don't see the cars coming and we just cross. Or even if somebody, a householder, is working, job. But even like, and he gave the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that constantly engaged mean, even if you're maintaining a Krishna conscious family, that also means constantly engaged, so you don't have to give that up. So this is also just a comment.
Yes, thank you. Yes, very nice comment. Yeah, the important thing is to be engaged according to one's duty and situation. No, that we're not engaged doesn't mean that we have to be in the temple. If we are in the temple, we have to be fully engaged. And if we're not in the temple, we also have to be fully engaged. Otherwise, the temple serves as the nucleus. No, this is what our temples are supposed to do, serve as the nucleus, so that every devotee can see this is what it means to be fully engaged. No, and therefore, let me do that at home. Just like in the second canto, third chapter, I think it's 21 or 22, the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains about grihastha life. He says, therefore every grihastha should have a deity in their home, Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Gornitai, and they should worship the deity from 4 in the morning to 10 at night. No, anyone under 12 years old or older should be initiated and learn to worship the deity. Otherwise, the whole family. The point is that the whole family should have Krishna in the center. One time, I went to a devotee's home, and they said they were asking me, "So we just got some deities. Where should we put them?" So I went over, And I said, do you have a cloth? I said, yes. So I took the cloth and put it over the television. And I said, you can put them here. Since you're already used to looking in this direction, then you can just... And then with the deities on here, then when you pull up that cloth, you probably will only put something about Krishna in the DVD player, you know. So, yes, very good point.
You commented on the... In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says the special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time and place. You quoted this verse we are singing every day from Guru Puja, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Vakya. So, does that mean that remembering the spiritual master, his instructions, his, like here we are in Srila Prabhupada's room, we can visit the museum and we can see all these pictures, and we can remember like the spiritual master speaking to us, giving us instructions, etc. Is this like the same?
Yes, this question was asked to Srila Prabhupada. No. And he said yes. But he hesitated a little bit, then he said yes. But if we meditate on Srila Prabhupada, what was Srila Prabhupada always saying? Chant Hare Krishna. No, remember Krishna. So yes, if you remember the spiritual master, we should obey the spiritual master, which engages us in devotional service. But the spiritual master wants us to remember Krishna. So obeying him and thinking of him also means thinking of his instructions and indications. Like Srila Prabhupada was always pointing to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was never pointing to himself. Oh.
May I add something?
Yes.
We can perceive the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, but Krishna, we know the deity, but we don't speak with him. He's not like, it's not exactly...
Yes.
Understand what you are saying.
Yes. Yes, so he reveals Krishna to us. No. Just like I always tell the devotees that Krishna is always smiling at us, you know, he's always with the flute, but the spiritual master will tell us what we're doing wrong. So therefore, being in association with the spiritual master is essential. Otherwise we may think, oh, Krishna's smiling at me, he must be happy with me. Of course, sometimes if we're actually very perceptive, we'll see sometimes Krishna's, he's always smiling, but sometimes he's looking at us in such a way that, you know, that in the heart he may tell us that, you need to improve. So, yes. But that's the point, is that meditating on the spiritual master means that also we will think of Krishna. No. Naturally, we will always think of Krishna. At the same time, when Narada Muni was asking, he asked the Lord, who is your greatest devotee? When he gave many examples. Because showing that there are many great devotees in many different occupations, as you mentioned, you know, that many different situations in life where one can be a great devotee. Just like Ramananda Roy, you know, Pradyumna Misra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Pradyumna Misra to Ramananda Roy to be instructed. He wanted to be instructed by Mahaprabhu. He said, well, Ramananda Roy instructed me, so you can go. And he went there and he was waiting, and then the servant told him that, yes, well, he's giving massage to these young girls in the back. He was thinking, Lord Chaitanya wants me to take instruction. He was a little confused, of course, he didn't want to be, and then Ramananda Roy came out and he said, actually, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were here, maybe tomorrow we can discuss. And he went back to Mahaprabhu and he was a little confused. And Mahaprabhu understood his mind. He said, no, actually Ramananda is so great that he can do this and he's not a disturbance. Mahaprabhu said, if I were to do that, I don't know what would happen to me. I'm a sannyasi. I don't know what would happen to me. So then Pradyumna Misra could understand how great Ramana, although he was a government servant. No. So I kind of lost myself on that point. Many different, so Narada Muni, one person he went to, the Lord said, "You please go to this devotee and tell him that he is liberated, that he can go to Vaikuntha." And so he went to the devotee and said, "You, the Lord has allowed you to, you will be promoted to Vaikuntha." And he said, "My dear great sage, I do not know Vishnu. I only know my spiritual master. If my spiritual master tells me to go to Vaikuntha, then I will go." No. Otherwise, so he was making that point that one should, to the one who is obedient to the spiritual master, this is the greatest devotee. There were many greatest devotees in that series of examples. No. Any other question? Yes.
In the last part of the second paragraph in the purport, Prabhupada quotes one shloka, the Dhamma Buddhi Yoga. And before that he says that one can understand the Supreme Lord as he is. So, and he writes, the Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him. In the last line of the second paragraph.
Yes.
So, is it a kind of a prerequisite or requirement that one may be intellectually inclined to understand the Lord and attain him?
No, that's why Prabhupada is explaining here, gives the devotee sufficient intelligence. What kind of intelligence? So the devotee can attain him in the spiritual kingdom. No. It has nothing to do with intellectual ability. No. Absolutely nothing. Therefore, Sri Gaur Kishordas Babaji, he manifests his pastime as the topmost pure devotee who was worshipped by the topmost intellectual. And he was, he would basically carry around two books, that's all that he read. No. But he was steeped in the deepest realizations of bhakti. No. But he was not at all an intellectual. And there were other persons who were supremely intellectual, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who would remember anything and everything he ever read or heard or saw. No. And many devotees, so many different examples of so many devotees, that some were great intellectuals, some were very, very simple devotees. No. And they were, but they're all the topmost pure devotees of the Lord. So what it means here, sufficient intelligence means that intelligence by which we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His Holiness, Kavichandra Maharaj Ki Jai. Is that okay? That's not an intellectual process. Actually, intellect can distract us from understanding the supreme goal in life. If we have too much intellectual activity without our intellect being absorbed in how to reveal Krishna in our hearts and the hearts of others, then we can be a big distraction. Because the more subtle platform that you are on, it's easier for Maya to manifest in such a way that you can't perceive her. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadambini says that the greatest danger, even for a very advanced devotee, is that the devotee, is glorified by others because he has so many wonderful qualities. And then he begins to think by hearing this again and again and again that, yes, I must be like that. No, yes. And then that's the end. No. But subtle, the subtle platform. And that's why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the manifestation of subtle sex life in the form of pratishtha is more dangerous than gross sex life. These subtle attractions. Because if someone is breaking the principles, it's not like he thinks, "Am I smoking or not? No, let me see." No, not like you know, I'm in Maya. But, sometimes with pride and envy, and you can justify it. No, I'm not envious, I'm just, You know, this devotee is not properly situated. So we can very be bewildered by the subtle platform. And intellect is something that can be very bewildering if it's not very carefully utilized and dovetailed in Krishna's service. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj Prabhupada said that philosophy is the highest, higher than the philosophy is the practice of the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to ask, like, there's so much knowledge, Gita, Bhagavatam, just now we read this verse, Nityasha, regularly, always, chanting Hare Krishna, day and night, incessantly, and so on. But the application is very, in my case at least, the application is very minimal, and I feel very sad about it. So what is the solution? How to best apply the philosophy in our lives? How to be very practical?
Just like Srila Prabhupada says here, and especially what we just read in the 13th verse of the 9th chapter, Association of Vaishnavas. No. That we put things, we can practice first by hearing, as you said, then the philosophy becomes established. Of course, the highest philosophy is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, other philosophy can be misleading. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, not so necessary to read many books. No. But read, whatever you read, make sure it leads you to Krishna. So hearing nicely and associating with Vaishnavas. No. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the five essential practices for becoming Krishna conscious. The first one is the association with devotees, sadhu sangha. No. Sadhu sangha Krishna naam, Bhagavata shravana. No. So the first thing, associate with Vaishnavas, because by that association devotional service becomes possible. Then chanting the holy name, and then hearing the Bhagavatam, and then living in a sanctified way or in a sanctified place, and then worshipping the deity in Tulsi Devi. If we do these five things constantly, just like you said, what's your name, Prabhu? No. Kulashekhar Prabhu. So just like he said, whether you're in your home or in the temple, no. If we do these things, then it will become more and more possible. Actually, we think it's very difficult, but we try harder. Then that gives us the enthusiasm to go on. But if we think it's too difficult, then Maya can actually creep in and say, oh, it's too difficult, you might as well give up. No. This is called Prachakpatmika Shakti. First Maya is Avaranatmika Shakti. She covers us completely. I think I'm this body, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a dog, I'm a this. But once you get above that, then there's Prachakpatmika Shakti. Tries to deviate you. You're too young to do this, you know. You're too young, you're too passionate, you have to go through so many things in life. Do that first. Then you can take up devotional service. You already tried, you fell down, you did this, you did that. No, stop fooling yourself. No. So, Maya is very expert. This is too difficult. No, you should try something else. No. So we should think, the fact that it's difficult makes it valuable, makes it wonderful. If it weren't difficult, then it would be just, if it's too easy, not too, and then, you know, it's probably not that valuable. It's like if you go to a jewelry store and they have a little diamond and it says, you know, 85 rupees, then you know, immediately you know it's plastic. You know? Not that you think, oh, maybe, you know, I really got lucky today and this is a pure, you know. So the difficulty makes it valuable. You know? That's our challenge. We all have the same challenge. And if we associate with one another and associate with more advanced Vaishnavas, then it becomes easier. Any other question? Yes.
Could explain what actual Vaishnava association is, because sometimes I get confused, maybe Vaishnava association and Vaishnava company.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very good point. Well, Vaishnava company means we sit down in the restaurant together and you know, have some idli, some samosa, pizza, and yuck it up. No, that's not association. I mean, that's better than obviously going to the tea stall out here and, you know. But Vaishnava association means hearing and chanting about Krishna or serving Krishna together. Enthusing one another in Krishna's service, just like in the spiritual world. Everyone is enthusing one another by being very active in devotional service. So Vaishnava association has that characteristic. That should be a product. Then we know it's real association. If we're feeling more enthused by the activity that's being enacted.
Also, a Vaishnava association reminds you of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
If you really want to go away, then you can't be around Vaishnavas because it'll remind you of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It'll be too painful. I can't get into Maya.
Yes. Very good point. Thank you. So, any other question?
I am in a pilgrimage. If necessary, I think that I swallow one when I burn.
I am in a pilgrimage in India, 3 months in health, and I reserve 10 days to stay here in Vrindavan. Because I love Krishna so much, I'm not a Hare Krishna, but I love Krishna too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I reserve this day to stay with you. But here I comment with Parvat in the first day. I haven't seen the people too much mechanical. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like these parades. And I'm feeling without love here. I see to the people, and the people don't look in our eyes. The people with the closed face and everybody angry, looking to the floor and pass by me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I don't feel why. And then I am a karma bhakti yoga. And one of the definitions of yoga is attention in the action. And just the people need to do the things with attention, with love. Not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But with love, feeling like feeling Krishna in our actions, in all of days. Every day I wake up and offer my life to God, and then I try to do my life the most pure possible, and then I see all the people like Krishna, because the love, all the people are blessings in our life, and then we need to pay attention in the people, in all the people. And I'm feeling this is just an observation from somebody that is out of your word. Wow. Man, please don't do mechanics, do it love, because this is the difference.
Yes,
I think
it's very, very important. Actually, that's what Srila Prabhupada says again and again. It must be done with love. But he also says that in the beginning one may be a little mechanical, you know. Better to do something mechanical than not do it, you know. And then one should learn. So in our society, we have so many people, you know, on different levels. Some are just beginning. Some are, some may, like you say, may be doing a little too mechanical, you know. And that's why we recommend that we come together and we associate with one another. And those who actually understand how to do the chanting, this constant chanting with great feeling and love and devotion, then by being with them we will learn from them. Oh. So that's a very good point. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I think now, because of the time, we'll stop here. I don't know what the process is here. It's Vrindavan, huh? Whatever. Time doesn't exist. The time is eternal.